Steuer? Aber easy. Mit Wieso Steuer. Einfach Foto deiner Dokumente machen und schwupps wird alles automatisch ausgefüllt. Kein Plan, ob's passt? Wieso Steuer prüft deine Angaben noch vor Abgabe. So gibt's keine Fehler mehr. Und bei Fragen hilft dir Steuer-GPT so, dass du's verstehst. Das Beste? Du siehst jederzeit, was du zurückbekommst. So steigt deine Erstattung und die Vorfreude. Jetzt ausprobieren und noch schnell bis zum 31. Juli abgeben. Wieso Steuer? So einfach war Steuererklärung noch nie.
Genug vom täglichen Grind. Spiele Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 und 4 und grinde, als wär's 2002. Ein legendäres Remake der Originalspiele mit neuen Parks, krasseren Tricks, plattformübergreifendem Multiplayer und abgefahrenen neuen Spielmodi. Hol dir das neue Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 und 4 und zeig der Welt, der Shred stirbt nie. Jetzt vorbestellen auf tonyhawkthegame.com/playnow. Verfügbar ab dem 11. Juli.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's big show, Greg Warren with the Warren Report today on nachos. Coming up in just a minute.
Ah, da ist meine Prime-Bestellung.
Was? Jetzt schon?
Nur eine Sache begeistert so sehr wie die schnelle Lieferung mit Prime. Und zwar das tolle Unterhaltungsangebot von Prime.
Was schauen wir uns an?
Heads of State, die neue Actionkomödie mit John Cena, Idris Elba und Priyanka Chopra Jonas. Sieht mega aus.
Schnelle, kostenlose Lieferung, geniale Unterhaltung und mehr gibt's bei Prime. Für nur 8,99 Euro pro Monat werde jetzt Prime-Mitglied. Die Inhalte können Werbung enthalten. Fortlaufende Mitgliedschaft. Mehr auf amazon.de/prime.
For the people going through heartbreak right now and you don't know what to do about it.
Okay.
Get sick, turn my stomach, throw up, up, chuck, pray to the porcelain god. Barf, belch, bail out, blow chunks, lose lunch, vomit, feed the fish, and heave a log. Evacuate all you ate, retch, route, regurgitate, drop your cookies, puke, and spew. Hurl, purge are just a few words that come up when I think about you.
That's quality.
Great way to get your morning started. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
Time now to check in with, what a handsome man. Look at those beautiful blue eyes. It's Greg Warren. You've got Paul Newman's eyes.
Really does.
Give them back to him.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Greg.
Man can't take a compliment.
Well, he's a humble man. He's,
okay.
Yeah, that's what he is.
Yeah.
And he has beautiful skin. Yeah. Like, it, you just, you're handsome, yeah. Greg.
Greg, give me the big teeth. Yes. Give me the full tooth smile. I want to see the choppers.
He doesn't have a very good smile.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't. Look, he looks, no, he looks like, no, he looks like a mobster in the 30s who was caught out behind the bank.
He just smiles with one side. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
It's endearing.
A mobster in the...
No, I was at the movies.
Yeah. This particular cell block, Machine Gun Kelly had what we called in the prison system a bitch.
That's right.
Greg Warren is one of my favorite comedians, and I always recommend you go see him live and in person. No better way than that to see comedy. Make that moment a special moment with Greg live and in person. Right now, however, this is where he weighs in with the Warren Report, a deep dive into a random topic chosen exclusively by Greg Warren. Thank you very much. What have you got, Greg?
Well, Tom, I felt like last week we really didn't get a chance to go all the way into the history of nachos. So I thought we'd do a bit of a part two,
all
if
right.
you don't mind.
More nachos. Yeah. More nachos. More nachos.
Crowd wants it, Greg.
And again, my criticism of nachos is, and especially back in the day, they would have the huge pile of nachos. And when you get down to the bottom.
You're just eating chips.
You've got this, and then these flaccid chips.
See, I like a flaccid chip.
Do you now?
I don't like really? The sauce. Cheese sauce. Do you like a cheese sauce or do
of
you like?
Of course.
No.
Melted cheese all
melted
the way.
Melted cheese.
Well, I'm with Chick and I'm with Jess and Christy, actually. I've never had cheese sauce. It doesn't appeal to me. It looks disgusting.
Yeah,
but,
right?
But I mean, it changed the game, guys. Cheese sauce changed the game. The central figure in cheese sauce is a fella named Frank Liberto.
We hardly knew you, Frank.
Frank owned a company called Rico's Products down in San Antonio. Frank was Well, he was sort of willed into the concessions business. His father was a peanut mogul.
Oh.
Yeah, his father was the first one to take peanuts and put them through the coffee roaster to warm them up, sell them at the circus, and the guy made a lot of money doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So Frank had some nachos down in San Antonio one time, the kind that Christy and Jess and I like with the melted cheese, usually right. Monterey Jack cheese.
Nothing wrong
and
with
he was
those.
Like, yeah, they're great. And he was like, this is outstanding. I want to do this at concessions, but there's no way that I can do this product at the concessions. It takes 10 minutes to melt the cheese the right way. And you can't be at a ball game and have people waiting 10 minutes for their nachos.
Sure, right?
So he did a few things. He partnered with a company called Dean Foods in the Midwest. And I believe Dean Foods is still in existence. And they worked on a condensed cheese product, the one that we knew. They had it's a cheese sauce. It's emulsified cheese. And when you get it, you add water and a little bit of jalapeno juice and you get the thing that that we have.
Mm.
And of course, they have the pump, you know, the nacho pump.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So he went to the Rangers, the tech. Oh, what he also did, I'm sorry. He also drove down. He told his family that they were going to go on vacation. And what he did is he got him in the car and he drove down to Mexico and visited a jalapeno farmer, and they made a deal to supply jalapenos. Nice. That was their vacation. Then he also hooked up with Jimenez Food Products, and he told them, I need a chip with a backbone. Sort of what Josh was saying. You don't want the soggy chips at the bottom. He said, I need a chip that's going to stand up to these this cheese sauce. And he found it. So they got all that together, and he went to the Texas Rangers. I'm talking about the baseball team, not the law enforcement.
Oh,
right.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He went there, and he said, hey, guys, I want to sell my nachos. And they said, listen, We like it, but we don't want you to cut into our popcorn sales.
Oh,
they were making a killing on popcorn back in the 70s, guys. If you were paying a dollar for popcorn, they were selling popcorn for about 12 times as much as they were buying it.
Of course.
Good margins. Yeah. Good margins.
Yeah. Kind of a racket back then. So he said, hey, here's what I'll do. I'm not going to even sell my nachos next to your popcorn. Let me set up a stand away from the concession stands. And I'm also, I'm going to put a lot of, I'm going to make sure that they have to have jalapenos on the nachos. That way people will get thirsty and drink more of your beer.
Oh,
they let him do it. He killed it, guys. He killed it. 1979, or it was in 1976 was the first time they did it. By 1979, 531,000 orders of nachos versus 92,000 orders of popcorn.
Whoa.
1.3 million people ate nachos, or 1.3 million orders. What they say here is one of every 2.4 fans ate nachos. But those, whenever they do that, I think that's inaccurate because the number is inflated. And by inflated, I mean fat, in that there's probably a few guys that are eating six orders of nachos, right? So it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like one in every 1.9 fans, really, if you think about it.
Yeah. Now, I had heard that a popcorn mogul got really upset about all this and was even trying to assassinate the nachos. You can read about it in the book, The Redenbacher Hit. It's a thrilling. It's nonfiction, but it reads like a thriller.
Tried to strangle him with a bow tie, didn't he, Josh?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, the tag sells it. Thank you, Greg. Nice save.
Nice save.
Guys, the key.
So I have a question. Is the profit margin on the nachos as significant as the profit margin on the popcorn?
Man, I didn't. I made a lot of calls, Tom, and these people are pretty protective about their
okay.
Nacho.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I would think popcorn is a lot. I think you can make a lot more money.
Sure.
Because it's so cheap. Nachos, there's a lot going into it. There's a lot more overhead, if you will.
Okay.
Christy, I think you're right in that from a pure margin standpoint.
Yes, percentage.
Yes. percentage. But if you're talking an actual penny profit, is what we called it in the peanut butter game, they're making way more money on nachos, now, especially the volume.
Have they tried to incorporate nachos into the great song "Take Me Out to the Ball Game"? I was at the Cracker Jack. The Cracker Jack people sure got a. That's the only time I ever think about Cracker Jack is in that song.
Cost him $6 million to get into that song, Tom.
Really?
Yeah. Fiddle Faddle bid $5 million. Yeah. And yeah. Crunch and Munch said, "Hey, we'll go 5.5
Yeah. You know, the way our culture works, I'm surprised that hasn't been sold. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, everything else is the ballpark. Everything.
Yeah,
everything
a special edition of "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" brought to you by whatever this guy's name is nachos, and everyone has to sing it that way.
Apparently, guys, the key mark for nachos was 1978. The Baltimore Colts back then played the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football, and they were serving nachos in the Dallas stadium, and they brought him up to the booth, and Howard Cosell mentioned that he enjoyed the nachos, and nachos took off from there. Yeah. Right at that moment, United Theater Artists, the theater company, that's when they said, "We're going to put nachos in all of our theaters," just because Howard Cosell mentioned it. Josh, did you guys sell a lot of nachos when you manage a theater?
A fair amount, yeah.
But you used the cheese sauce, right?
Yep.
You didn't use melted
and nothing
cheese.
Else, like no meat, no onions, no...
Correct, we had jalapenos.
Yeah, and the sauce.
But that never made sense to me, because they're loud. Why would you eat nachos in a movie? It's loud.
Well, popcorn's kind of loud,
too.
Yeah. Popcorn's not loud.
I would say they're comparable.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what else is loud. A much louder crunch than popcorn crunch.
I'll tell you what else is loud in a movie theater is when you take your straw and you you move it in and out and go me and Mark Poston did that in the movies every time.
Of course you did.
Annoy people.
Of course.
I went to the movies last week, Greg. There was an ice eater in the theater.
Oh no!
So it was just shake. Shake. I was mad.
And you know how I feel.
I'm an ice eater, Josh.
Where'd you bury him, Josh?
Now, see, I don't approve of crushed ice. We've had this discussion.
What about barrel
melts
ice?
Melts too fast.
And I have a crushed ice machine in my house.
Yeah, it melts too fast. It waters down your soda.
Waters down your drink. I hate it. And it's only...
I enjoy it every now and then.
I do too.
Yeah, well, Greg, you're allowed to come over to my house next time you're in town. You can have some crushed ice. You can have all yours because I'm not going to have any.
I'd like to do that. by the way, guys, Howard Cosell, one of my favorite figures in all of media.
Hello again.
Yes. That
These
was good,
chips
chick.
And cheese are delightful.
A quote from him said, "Arrogant, pompous, obnoxious, vain, cruel, verbose, a show-off. I have been called all of these. Of course, I am."
All right.
My favorite Cosell story, and this is not my story. This is Al Michaels' story. I've heard it several times. Apparently, they were doing a Monday Night Football game in Kansas City.
Yeah, we were doing a Monday Night Football game in Kansas City. That's amazing.
That's very good.
That's very good. They were driving to dinner the night before, and they went through a sort of bad neighborhood in Kansas City. And they were at a stop sign, and there was a big fight between two teenagers, like a fist fight going on. And a bunch of people gathered around watching this violent fist fight. Cosell gets out of the car, walks up and says, "Now listen, it's apparent to this trained observer that the young southpaw does not have a job requisite for the continuation of this fray. Furthermore, his opponent is a man of inferior and diminishing skills. This confrontation is halted post haste."
Oh, what a weirdo.
He did. And they all were like, "Howard Cosell, man."
Remember the foreign exchange students in Better Off Dead who learned English by listening to Howard Cosell?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, my God, chick. It's the greatest thing in film.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I will check you out.
That is one of my favorite things in all of film.
Yeah. Who do you think is the closest to Cosell now?
Michael's probably.
Yeah.
And I, it, with respect to ease of copying.
You mean?
Oh, Stephen A. Smith, I would think.
Oh, that's yeah. You're right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Stephen A. Smith. Yeah. Yeah,
that,
yeah.
He would be the Cosell. For those that don't remember, sure. Howard Cosell and.
You know, he threw up on Don Meredith's cowboy boots one game because he was so drunk.
Oh, Howard Cosell did?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
I was in a suite in Shea Stadium once. Long story, but it was...
Frank Gifford really helped my dad out.
No, that's a different stadium.
Oh, okay.
I was in Shea Stadium. It was Howard Cosell, Pierre Salinger, who was, of course, JFK's press secretary,
yes.
and this is the punchline. Patricia Crowley. Anyone?
Please don't eat the daisies.
Please
Mom.
Don't eat the daisies.
Hell yeah.
Howard Cosell.
Who's Patricia Crowley?
She was an actress in Please Don't Eat the
Daisies. She was real hot at the time.
And she was really nice.
Did you make that house call? What's going on?
No, it was a long story.
Did you eat the tulips?
I did not eat the tulips. But but Mr. Cosell was in there with a big cigar and what appeared to be a rather fastly emptying drink, if that's a word.
Okay.
Yeah. He pounded him.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith is the equivalent today, I think, of someone who's, and I find him hilarious.
I found out that John Lennon was shot from Howard Cosell watching Monday Night Football.
Oh, a lot of people did, right?
Wow.
It's haunting.
Yeah. Yep. Now, to get
this
back,
just in from the Dakota apartment. Awful.
To get back to nachos, I can actually remember physically where I was the first time I had a nacho.
Where?
Where?
Tell me Mexican everything.
Restaurant.
Don't leave anything out.
No, I won't bore you with it, but do you remember where you were the first? Because no one ate nachos except perhaps in Texas.
Does it count as a nacho if you get the chips out of the bag, put them on a plate,
no,
sprinkle cheese on the top of it, throw it in the microwave?
Of course.
Yes.
No, but I mean with respect
to... Put some jalapenos on there, you're
I mean,
not.
With respect to being in a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Because nachos hit like a tidal wave about 1980.
Did you guys probably have appetizers 80. Back then?
Did you hear what you just said? Did you have appetizers back then? Well, Tom and I knew each other, but he was in a different town. So when I would go visit Tom, I'd have to get fresh horses.
Right.
And I would, I'd get some nachos.
I think the ballpark was the first place I ever had them.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
what
the
year?
Little League ballpark.
Oh, that would have been in the early 80s?
Yeah.
I think my mom made them for me, and they were outstanding.
I know that for sure. My mom used to make them, too.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing them in a restaurant prior to... like 1980.
And where were you?
First restaurant, Tom, I believe was in Los Angeles, a place called El Cholo. And there was a waitress named Carmen Roca. She actually used to eat nachos in San Antonio. And you had to order them off the menu. You had to know about them. And you had to ask Carmen, like, hey, will you make me some nachos? Jack Nicholson was a regular at that restaurant and actually spoke at Carmen's funeral.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
Yeah. I want to go way, way back to 1500 BCE. The reason we can do all this is a process called nixtamalization.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You familiar? I knew you were familiar, Josh. It's basically you dry the corn kernels and you soak them in a water with an alkaline that breaks down the tough walls of corn. That way you can make a what's called masa or corn dough. That's how you make the tortillas. Okay?
Actually, he brings up a good point because you know how corn makes a presence again, it seems, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just hollowed out. The walls of the corn are the tough part. We can't digest those. That's what's coming out.
Chick, that is amazing that you said
Thank
that.
You. I know.
When you,
I'm
when
amazing,
you,
Greg.
You are amazing. You continue to amaze me.
So
if you don't nixtamalize the corn,
right?
You wind up, you don't get the niacin from the corn.
So he's talking about a corn-free turd.
Okay. It's impossible unless you're doing it this way.
Greg's not interested in going down that path.
I think it's an important
Not at all.
Point.
Yeah. Not in the least bit.
Trying to.
Hates it, yeah.
Not at all.
We're trying to make a point here, guys, about niacin. Trying to teach about niacin deficiency. Back in the day, if you ate unnixtamalized corn, you were niacin deficient, and you were very sensitive to light, and that is where they think a lot of the European vampire myths came from.
Interesting.
They were talking about people that were niacin deficient. Those were the vampires.
So what you're saying is, if Dracula ate nachos, he'd be okay.
he'd be okay. He'd be okay. Mm. You know who doesn't care for the nixtamalization process?
Who?
Goth kids.
Well, on that note,
that's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid-fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.